I'm going to go to the 28th chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus 28. I'll just begin by reading a couple of verses here. First verse begins that 28th chapter saying, And take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. This is the Lord talking to Moses, Aaron being his brother. And then, and I don't intend to go into the, I don't know how many verses, from the fourth verse on down to beyond 39th, 40th verse are all about these garments. A lot of detail there. I don't intend to, that's a beautiful subject. The garments of the priests and the high priest, beautiful subject. But I don't intend to go into that, but reason I started here, and I do want to talk about Aaron is the high priest. His sons are priests, and so Aaron is consecrated, he's sanctified, he's set apart to minister unto God in the priest's office. And we can go to the book of Leviticus, and I will go over there some, Lord willing. But to cover some of the details on the priesthood, but we have a term that is used a lot in preaching, and that's preachers will refer to the Levitical priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. What that's speaking of is there is a priesthood which is being set up right here. And I want to lay out and give you some scripture to where that priesthood and the high priest is set up by God through Moses and through Aaron and that lineage there. Because then that points to the priesthood of Jesus Christ, being our high priest, being the high priest, but many similarities in that, and there are similarities in the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, based on the order of Aaron, the high priest, and his family there, and the priesthood of Jesus Christ. That points to that. That's why I begin here. So when someone refers to the Levitical priesthood, or the Aaronic priesthood, that's what that's speaking of, is that priesthood. That's what they were. Now, Aaron was the great-grandson of Levi. So you know the 12 tribes of Judah, of Israel, 12 tribes of Israel, Judah being one, but Levi being one. So Aaron is the great-grandson. His father was the grandson of Levi. So you can see exactly what that comes down through. And so that tribe was set apart as priests. That's what they did. Other tribes were other things, and I'll go into just one thing from that. But so speaking of Aaron here in this Levitical priesthood, the sixth chapter of Exodus, a few chapters back, the 16th verse of the sixth chapter of this same book of Exodus. 16th verse says, "And these are the names of the sons of Levi, according to their generations." I like to go back and find, where does it say, where did the Levitical priesthood start, that line of priests? And because we know, if we don't, we should know that Jesus Christ, Jesus, his lineage was not back into the tribe of Levi. He's not, and yet he's high priest. His lineage is from the tribe of Judah. It's one of the 12 tribes. He comes from the tribe of Judah. Judah was the line of kings. Certainly Jesus Christ is our king. He is the king, but yet he's also our high priest. Priests, and when we're talking about the Levitical priesthood, priests were not kings, and kings were not priests. And yet, I don't think I'll get to to this part of this today in fullness, but Melchizedek, I'll throw that name out there, maybe next Sunday, I don't know. But so we go here and see that it's listing the sons of Levi. Kohath is one. And then Amram is the son of Kohath. And then Amram is the father of Levi. So we see that lineage coming. I mean, is of Aaron. I'm sorry, excuse me, of Aaron. Amram is the father of Aaron. So we see a direct line in this tribe of Levi, this priesthood coming down there. So when you talk about the Levitical priesthood, we see it there. Now, let me just throw this one verse in. I'm going to go to Genesis real quick, and I don't want to touch on the kingship of Jesus Christ so much today, but in the 49th chapter of Genesis. I can get to it. 49th chapter of Genesis, the 10th verse. It says here, now this is setting aside for a moment the tribe of Levi, that priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. We're talking about Judah here. Mentions in the 9th verse, Judah. Then it says in the 10th verse, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah." In other words, this royal lineage, that ruling of kings, shall not leave. It's not going to leave the tribe of Judah and jump over to the tribe of Levi. Those are the priests. I want to keep these tribes separated and their lineages here, and yet at some point, whether it be today or another time, we bring them all back together, though, in Jesus Christ. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet," the kingships here, "until Shiloh come." Shiloh is tranquility. Shiloh is peace. And we have the peace giver, the peace creator, Jesus Christ, that this refers to here. "Until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people be." One more verse here, the 11th verse. Binding his foal unto the vine and his ass's colt unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. This is pointing to Jesus Christ. He is king. He's an eternal king, and yet he is high priest. Two different tribes here. And I so much love and appreciate even in all of this, that God does make, he brings out the simplicity of his doctrine in this. He puts in just enough in here, and sometimes even more, he heaps it on. And he does over in Hebrews, 7th, 8th, 9th chapters of there, talks about the priesthood. And Paul in Hebrews writes and brings all this together here. So this is talking about that tribe of Judah and kingship and that lineage there, tribe of Judah. And you think of King David. Jesus Christ is in that lineage. That's his family. Aaron's not the family, or Aaron, or Levi is not in the family lineage of Jesus as he where he came from. But David, and I go back to Ruth and David, and all we have that complete lineage there. I'm trying to keep this rein together here, and because not only, and I hope to, whether it be today, next Sunday, and the next, we think of the Aaronic or the Levitical priesthood, and then we try to point that to the priesthood of the of Jesus Christ, the high priest, our high priest, and beyond that, then we are made kings and priests unto God. And so then we have our priesthood, and all of it comes together. All of it, we can see similarities and things that point from, even from the Levitical priesthood to our priesthood. Yes, sir. Setting Jesus Christ there separately in that thought there. And I won't have time to get into that today. So going back to Exodus, the 28th chapter, I want to jump past all the garments here, or to the end of that. jump down to, I guess, the 38th verse of that 28th chapter of Exodus. And it shall be upon, this is wrapping up and coming on into the garments and so forth of that put on Aaron and his sons. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead that Aaron, I know this is the middle of a thought, but this is what I want to get to, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead that they may be accepted before the Lord. So he's setting up in the garments and the dress and the attire of the high priest, and then my mind immediately goes to the high priest, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us on the cross. Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow, consecrate, sanctify, set apart in their hearts and mind to make holy. This is what Israel should do. How many times did they fail at that? Even jumping to the very last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and how they were failing God then in their sacrifices to him. Our high priest never failed God in offering that one sacrifice there to God, because that sacrifice was accepted. All of this points to that. Jesus Christ is all through the Old Testament. So Aaron has this begins this Levitical priesthood here. So Aaron, bearing the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow and all their holy gifts, Aaron is making intercession for us. Jesus Christ makes intercession for us. I'm so thankful that it is Him. I'm thankful that we have our high priest, Jesus Christ. The Levitical priests, it always had to be. So the next high priest, there's one high priest. That's Aaron right now. At some point, Aaron died. They had to have another high priest. Had to be out of the tribe of Levi. It had to be. It had to be. Then his son comes along, one of his sons, and so on down the line. And not one that doesn't. You don't try, even begin to try to follow that lineage down to Jesus Christ, because it's not there. He's not out of the tribe of Levi, and yet he's our high priest and our king. And none of them out of the tribe of Levi were kings. We did have one in the Old Testament that was both king and priest, and that was Melchizedek. And out of nowhere, he's mentioned in Genesis, and then in I think in Psalm 110, and then over in Hebrews. But again, don't want to get off on Melchizedek right now. Aaron is interceding for Israel here at this point. And this phrase here, which the children of Israel shall hallow, consecrate, to sanctify and to set apart, to make holy within, and yet he's having to bear their iniquities. Aaron had to bear his iniquities. He had to sanctify himself. And as all the high priests did when they would enter into the not just the holy place, but the most holy place, with the blood and so forth in that. But we in our priesthood, as we offer our sacrifices, even today, as we offer the sacrifices of our lips, should hallow those offerings to God. Set those apart. Set ourselves apart mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. We should do that. Doesn't God deserve that? Aren't we obligated to do that with God? Now, when I fail to do that, I confess to you how I, by the time I get here and sit down, I'm maybe not in the best frame of minds. I'm a man of like passions as you, I'll say, as that's quoting scripture from the Apostle Paul and so forth. Same passions and all. But I should set myself apart. And not only, I tell you what, it's not, we should not, and it's not an easy task to live all week in one way, not consecrating even God Himself in our lives, and then just turn that on Sunday morning. It's just now, through God's mercy, He has somehow blessed me to enter into His service, knowing exactly if maybe I got angry at someone at work. I know none of y'all have done that, I'm sure, but I think you have. But just simply being distracted from thinking of the Lord, and even having, I will go ahead and through Jesus Christ, through God Almighty, give Him the praise. Praise, honor, and glory for some of the examples that I've been given in this church of doing that, of setting, of hallowing, consecrating God in our hearts, minds, thoughts, and doing that in action and in our minds and in our hearts. Aaron was to bear the iniquity of the holy things with the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. Now, let me Let me go to Leviticus, the 21st chapter. Leviticus chapter 21. And I want to read here, and you can go, and I know some of you have gone through from if you read from Genesis 1-1 all the way through the Bible, and you may do it multiple years, and I know Brother Roger has mentioned his experience with doing some of that, but so Leviticus and Exodus, they're pretty early in the Bible here. So even if we drop off somewhere down in here, maybe in Numbers or even later, then there's much about this priesthood and this lineage in these books here to read. But just getting my thoughts, if God will guide them. I want to get around the 17th verse of the 21st chapter of Leviticus. I want to read some descriptive sentences here of the Levitical priesthood. This is talking about them. God had to lay this out here, and He does all of this in great detail. I think about the tabernacle and the temple, and then the garments of the priest and so forth. God is very specific in these, and they have meanings. So in the 17th verse says, Lord says to Moses, spake unto Moses, 16th verse, speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. So he's talking about, and I've mentioned this word blemish or being blameless and so forth. And you talk about pointing to Jesus Christ in his priesthood here. But so God lays out what types of people not to have in these offering of sacrifices here. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind man or lame, or he that hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous. I mean, he goes into the detail here. Just it amazes me. But this is so specific, because how can God get through to Moses to get through to Aaron the importance of the ones that are going to offer sacrifices on behalf of Israel to God? And so then I jump to myself, as and maybe that's being selfish and all looking to. But I think of my sacrifices. I'm not worthy. I certainly am not. I'm not blameless of myself. But we are all. We have no blemishes or blame or condemnation through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our High Priest, because of that sacrifice that He offered to God that was accepted. We are blameless. We are in this situation. And yet still, we have, just as Aaron still had to bear the iniquities of himself, of Israel, and so forth, and sanctify himself and Israel and the tabernacle and so forth, we still have to fight that. And God blesses us to do that. So he goes on down. I'm not going to read all of these verses, but it goes all the way. Let me get the 21st verse. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, he's a Levite, seed of Aaron, the priest shall come nigh to the offering, the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. Now, the difference, if I don't come offering sacrifices of my lips to God in the right frame of mind, which He knows, well, God knew then. The difference is, so far, I have not literally, physically dropped dead here when I fail to hallow, sanctify, consecrate God in my heart here in my sacrifices. The high priest going in there, many died not offering, and this said, and so God is aware of this. He's very specific. And they knew. I don't know what happened. There are many scenes that I wish that I could be there and see and watch things happening in the service of God, of His people, and even and then in the New Testament, certainly things that I would just rather not see. But to see the service of the priest and the high priest there, and when they failed to do as God has set forth there. So I'm thankful for His mercy. I know that the song service and the worship service is not a warm-up for the preaching portion. It's all so important. But God blesses us many times as we're singing songs. And as Brother David has several times when he's led here, mentions and all, and how he was blessed. And you can hear it in his voice that God blesses us to then hallow God in our hearts. He takes our distraction, our distracted mind, and brings it back to Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, because they are deserving of our undivided attention. He is a jealous God. Numbers, real quick, I think just one verse, Numbers 18, 18th chapter. Let me get the first verse there. And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. There is no iniquity in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Without blemish means without blemish. Jesus Christ was and is and always will be impeccable, sinless, and all. That's who I want my high priest to be, and he is. But the Aaron and his sons, the tribe of Levi, shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood, and thy brethren, part of the second verse, and thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, of the tribe of Levi. Let me get, before I come back, in the seventh chapter of the book of Hebrews. And maybe I'll stay here and move on. Seventh chapter of Hebrews. So the apostle, God, through this apostle, this writer here, brings this together. The 11th verse. Some people would wonder, it's even been discussed, well, so the Levitical priesthood, the tribe of Levi, then, of course, the lawgivers and so forth, and, well, let me just read the 11th verse. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise? That's Jesus Christ. What need should another priest rise? Why didn't he just keep going through the Levitical priesthood, the tribe of Levi? And I didn't finish this sentence, this question. That another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron. I've already explained that Jesus was not after the order of Aaron. He's not in the tribe, from the tribe of Levi, which Aaron was. Great-grandson of Levi himself. That son of Jacob. So if the perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, why is there a need that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek? For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity, a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. There's two different things. He addresses this. And I just simply don't, in 15 minutes or whatever I have left, I don't want to go into... I actually started when I began to study and meditate on the thoughts that I had. I thought, well, I want to cover Melchizedek, and I really felt the necessity to back up and cover this Levitical priesthood, and then we'll cover the Melchizedek next. Maybe I can get the Goins to come back next Sunday, unless I'm really off today. But we'll cover Melchizedek next Sunday, because there's so many similarities. And then I want to go into our priesthood. There's so much there as well. So I don't want to get into that. But it speaks of the two different tribes here. And then it says, here's your proof text here for this tribe of Judah in the 14th verse. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. That is just simple translated English right there. That the Lord Jesus Christ sprang out of the tribe of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing. Moses never spoke, when he kept saying the Lord spake unto Moses, tell Aaron this and tell Aaron that, never talked about the tribe of Judah in there. It's always the tribe of Levi. And God set that up perfectly. It doesn't matter how little or how badly Israel observed the law it was perfect. The law was perfect, and it had its purpose. Certainly shined a light on the sinfulness, our unrighteousness, and their unrighteousness and their iniquities. 19th verse, for the law... This Levitical law, Aaronic law, the law made nothing perfect. So there you go. It did not make. And yet in the 10th chapter of Romans, still the Apostle Paul, I believe his prayer and his heart's desire for Israel, that they might be saved, they were still going about trying to establish their own righteousness through the law. The law doesn't do that. The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. Let's skip a few verses here. And try to wrap this up. 23rd verse. So this gets back to the Levitical, the Aaronic priesthood. And they truly were many priests through that lineage of Levi, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Obviously they died. They died a natural death. This family of Levi, they continued to die. But this man, Jesus Christ, and he talks about Melchizedek in here as well, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our high priest, the high priest, makes intercession for us. Who better to do that than the great high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God? He is God. He makes intercession. He's the one that redeemed us. Certainly, he is fit to make intercession for us to his Father, God Almighty. And we come to God by and through Jesus Christ. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And if you go back and read all those verses of the descriptions there in Leviticus chapter 21, of the descriptions of the Aaronic priesthood, of those priests, of ones that were not to offer sacrifices, and they had better not for fear of death there. But This is our high priest in the 26th verse. He has no blemish, who needeth not daily as those high priests, the Aaronic priests, had to, who needeth not daily to offer up sacrifice. He didn't have to do it. He had to do it once. Jesus Christ did it once. He entered into heaven to do it for us. We could not have done it. This is our eternal life. You think, well, okay, that's good. This is our life. It's our life here as well, in Him. As those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for His own sins, because He had none. Jesus Christ had none. Aaron had to bear his iniquity. He had to bear the iniquity of the priesthood. And then for the peoples, for this He did once when He offered up Himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son, Jesus Christ, who is consecrated forevermore. So the similarities in that Levitical priesthood and the priesthood of Jesus Christ, and then we see that type doesn't live up at all. The type of Aaron and the Levitical priesthood being a type of the priesthood of Jesus Christ doesn't measure up to the antitype, which is Jesus Christ. But that's what we have to. God's given us to point to His high priesthood. Sixth verse of the eighth chapter of Hebrews. But now hath He obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Now, let me close with in the ninth chapter, 11th verse, and I'll close this. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. Talked about that wine, His garments stained with that wine and the blood and so forth. And He tread the winepress alone. But His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You look at the Levitical priesthood, and then you point to the priesthood of our high priest, Jesus Christ, and how He should be. He is consecrated. When we say we glorify God, we don't give Him, we don't make Him glorified. We acknowledge His glory, and we do that by hallowing His name, His great and holy name. And He is both a priest and king. He is prophet, priest, and king, Jesus Christ. All these other types of Him. And Jesus Christ, He is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, not of Levi. He's not in that. Lord willing, maybe I can get into Melchizedek next Sunday, but we'll close the service at this point. May God bless you. We'll sing a song now.